You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in, Gym Class, here on KGYM on a Monday. The holiday week getting underway. Thank you very much for joining us. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. We got a great show lined up for you. Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our usual Monday guest, is going to be joining us. And Mike was in Sioux Falls over the weekend, at least on Saturday. Iowa and Gonzaga basketball. So we will talk about that with Mike. We'll take a look back at the Big 12 championship game and look ahead at the bowl games. The controversy upon controversy, I guess, all over the country as far as the college football playoff is concerned, and a lot more on the program here today. You are welcome to join us on the text line and the phone lines at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. Again, thank you very much for joining us here today. Also, besides on our frequencies of KGYM, you can also tune in at the KGYM stream, your smart speaker, or the brand new KGYM mobile app. What a weekend it was. Scott Unash, buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side on a very nice but windy Monday afternoon in eastern Iowa. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Scott. Buttons, everyone. Actually witnessing two pieces of history here at my home today.
New bowling ball?
No.
Okay.
Number one, the last pieces of debris from the derecho have been removed from the neighborhood.
Ah, thank you. Very good.
Thank you to those folks. And secondly, I thought I needed to tune in to the inaugural Myrtle Beach Bowl. Didn't realize it was played. It is played in the stadium where Coastal Carolina plays. It's kind of a teal colored field.
Yes.
Annoying. But, and it's not much of a game, but I thought I should pay the respects to the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Well, I'm glad you did. It is on. It is going. We have bowl season is underway officially.
It is underway. Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. But not with a big bang, apparently, right?
Appalachian State ahead of 4-5 North Texas, 28-7, ending the first half.
Ah. Awesome.
If you need to know that, I'm sure, yeah.
Well, yeah. Why not? Why not indeed? And yeah, that is at the Myrtle Beach Bowl, and we do have all the bowls set. Iowa State, they're off to bowl games, and some teams off with really glossy records, and then you've got Army, of course, with 9 wins, not going anywhere. So that's about as 2020 as we can close things out as far as college football. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. Phone line available to you again as well. 319-366-1600. Where in the world do we start, Mark? Do we start with very, very saddening story do you want to start off with on Saturday?
Well, I'll take your lead. We could go college football playoffs. Iowa Gonzaga, Iowa State, Oklahoma. We're going to touch on them all.
Yeah, we're going to touch on them all. Let's start with basketball. Let's start there first. Up in Sioux Falls on Saturday as Iowa went up against Gonzaga. And, yeah, Zags did not suffer much from their nearly week and a half, 2 week furlough that they had due to COVID problems. They were good, and they shot it well. 50% from three-point land, to be exact. And Gonzaga defeated an Iowa team that didn't fold up the 10th. I guess that was the best part of the game early on Saturday afternoon, was that the Hawkeyes never gave up. But you saw differences between the number one team in the land and even the number three team in the land, especially when the number three team is not shooting the ball. like they would have liked to have done from the perimeter. Just way too much athleticism, way too much talent, especially with Jalen Suggs. And I said all week I thought Jalen Suggs was going to be a big problem for the Hawkeyes, and he turned out to be a huge problem for the Hawkeyes.
Well, rust on Gonzaga was not a storyline in this one, shooting-wise, conditioning-wise, what have you. Obviously, these guys got up shots during the two-week hiatus because of COVID-19 issues, but the shooting was awful for Iowa, 4 of 22 from three-point range. Excuse me, barely more than 50% at the free throw line. And got out-rebounded. Those are very uncharacteristic of Iowa, but it also speaks to Gonzaga's talent, I think. Jalen Suggs, as good as advertised, with 27. 7 of 10 from three-point range. He was just remarkable there. He did commit 7 turnovers, so he wasn't perfect, but he was pretty darn good.
He was very good, and I think the two things that the glaring situation from that game, we mentioned the positive, and that is Iowa never quit. They were within 8 in the last minute of the ball game. But, and again, I'm sure it's going to come up in any discussion as far as Hawkeye basketball is concerned, is defense. And I think the rotation defense has gotten better. And a lot of the aspects as far as the Iowa defense over the last couple of seasons has gotten better. But when you have an athletic, quick, first-step team that cuts away from the basketball and beats you off that first step, that is what really is going to hurt Iowa this year, and it hurt them on Saturday. Just cutting down the lane, first step, getting behind, getting your hips turned, things like that, just so many things that Gonzaga did very, very well. And you put that together with the fact they shot 50% from three, and Iowa shot 4 of 22, and it was pretty much a miracle Iowa stayed within 8 in the last minute of that basketball game.
Yeah, it was. And Luka Garza had a really nice game at 30 points and fouled out two of the big guys who were trying to defend him. I think Gonzaga, I mean, it's silly to say, when Garza had 30, they had a nice scheme. They were going one-on-one, but Suggs would help a lot of the times when the ball entered the post. And to Garza's credit, he still got 30. I'm not saying Gonzaga did a great job, but it was an interesting philosophy for the Bulldogs. But, you know, the main takeaway is Iowa did not play its best game. I'm not sure Gonzaga did either, but it played better. It's the number one team, and Iowa only fell one spot in the polls today, down to number 4. So I think folks, and I think a lot of people tuned into that ball game and saw the capabilities of this Iowa team. Now it enters Big Ten play, starting with Purdue tomorrow, and we've already seen craziness in the Big Ten.
Michigan State losing to Northwestern. Northwestern's going to be better. They've got some players. They got a couple of really good individuals for the Northwestern Wildcats. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up, because the Big Ten is going to be a bumpy ride this year. And I'm not even talking about the COVID side of things. It's just going to be craziness, because anybody can beat anybody on a given night. And Northwestern showed that against Michigan State. Excellent game yesterday. If you saw it on the other side of NFL football, but Rutgers and Illinois going at it, and Rutgers coming away with a win. Scarlet Knights are almost a top 10 team now in the country. So that is very interesting to see out there. You mentioned Purdue won their opener. How is Iowa going to come back? Listen, that game did not hurt Iowa. That helped Iowa. Iowa now, it's solidified what the Hawkeyes need to do to get better. And Fran McCaffrey, I know, is going to work with that, get better. You said Iowa only dropped one spot in the polls. Not that the polls matter a great deal at this point, but there was no negatives other than the fact you lost for that game for either Iowa or Gonzaga on Saturday?
Yeah, now the most important part of the season begins, and that is the conference campaign. And will each team get in 20 games? I'll ask you this, Scott. If each team gets in 20 games, what would you take right now to win the conference championship? How many losses? How many losses?
You care.
Well, zero, of course, but what's the most amount of losses you can afford and win the Big Ten championship?
Four.
That's what I was thinking.
Four. 16 yeah. And you give me 16-4 right now. If I'm a Big Ten coach, I say I'm not going to play a game. Good night.
We're in complete agreement on that, I think.
Yeah, 15-5. But I think 16-4, if you play 20, if everybody plays 20, which is probably not going to happen, is going to be getting you, I think, at least a share. So we'll see. Write that down. Buttons, write that down. 16-4.
64-29 on the text line, weighing in on Jalen Suggs. He will be a top three draft pick if he chooses to be a one and done.
Yep.
And I'm not sure I disagree with that.
Well, Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State is right up there. They're the two guys now. Since the game on Saturday, obviously Jalen Suggs is a sexy pick as the number one guy. He really went up the boards over the weekend. 4702 says 14-6 they will take as far as the Big Ten. And they may be right. They may be right. Who knows? Ryan and Walford, I feel like we got Gonzaga's best shot, and we really played pretty bad. I won't get into defense because nobody is going to mistake us for a defensive team. I certainly wasn't discouraged. Many other years we lose this one by 30-plus, and I would agree with him. Maybe not 30, but it would have been a 20-point game. And that's the one thing I'm going to take away from that as far as a positive from Iowa Gonzaga. Was that in the past, I think Iowa loses that and gets their doors blown off. They stayed in this one for at least somewhat of an extent.
Yeah, it was an illustration and kind of underscoring your point about defense that Iowa is not going to be able to outscore everybody. Iowa's going to score. There's no question about it. I mean, it scored 88 in this game and shot as poorly as it did. We 4 of 22 from threes and barely 50% from the free throw line, still scored 88. But it was an illustration, as I said, that Iowa is not going to be able to outscore everybody.
True, true. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Phone line available as well, 319-366-1600. Big 12 championship football game. Iowa State spotted Oklahoma 24-7 lead at halftime. Darn near came back to win the game. And I know Brock Purdy's taken a lot of slings and arrows since that throw on Saturday on third down trying to make a play. I understand it. He was trying to make a play. But in retrospect, and I know he'd be the first and second one to tell you, he probably should have just thrown it away and tried it again on fourth down, but who knows if they would have had a better shot at it as far as fourth down is concerned. Can't turn the ball over three times, can't give up a big lead like that, and expect to beat a good team. But a solid showing by Iowa State, and then things got wacky in the college football playoff show, which I think is still on. Is it still on ESPN? I don't know.
Oh, my God, that was... horrendous, wasn't it?
I stopped after about 45 minutes.
Well, I did too, but my goodness, come on.
Let's just get this thing done, get it over with, move on, have a good day. But yeah, that thing stretching as long as it did was absolute insanity. But at any rate, it's not what Iowa State wanted, and certainly the Cyclones have nothing to hang their heads about, though, after that ball game.
Not at all. A terrific comeback, and the defense played lights out in the second half, and offense did almost as much as it could to win that ball game. And, you know, Cyclone fans, come on. I mean, after losing the opener to Louisiana by, 17?
Yep.
And would you think you would have the ball on Oklahoma's side of the field late in the game with a chance to win the Big 12 championship? Not to mention winning the regular season championship. Man, that was, in a loss, it was a great result, I thought.
It was, and you don't get a bad consolation prize either by going to a New Year's Six bowl game, as Iowa State will head down to the Valley of the Sun in the Fiesta Bowl, where they will take on they'll take on Oregon, who somehow took a third-place finish in the North Division of the Pac-12 and parlayed that into a 2020-like Pac-12 championship. Congratulations to Mario Cristobal and the Ducks.
That was crazy. Oregon, replacement for Washington in that game, and they ended up beating USC. So technically, Oregon won the Pac-12 championship game. But, yeah, I mean, to get to a Fiesta Bowl with third place in your division, there's so many things about the selection process that, and it's every year, Scott.
It is every year. It's every year.
It's a unique year, but it's not in terms of bowl selections, college football playoff. There's controversy every year.
True. 93, we'll get to that coming up in a moment. 93:59 on the text line. Purdy should have used the timeout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And retrospect, yeah, probably that would have helped. But then you're out, and who knows, like I said, how it would have played out in the end. But he tried to make a play, and Oklahoma was right there. They had two guys, and one made the interception. But just Xavier Hutchinson had a great game for Iowa State. Cyclones just couldn't get Breece Hall doing Breece Hall stuff either on Saturday. Oklahoma did a really good job of, can you say, bottling up Breece Hall when he had, what, 80-some yards in the ball game?
Sure, yeah.
But that's 40-some underneath his average, and probably Iowa State had to run and throw to win that football game and hold on to the ball, and they didn't do it. I think that's the bottom line.
Cajun Troy weighing in, not about the Chiefs and Saints.
Hi, Troy!
But Purdy should have ran a couple plays before that interception.
Mm. Like I said, hindsight's 20/20. Hindsight's 20/20. Iowa State's not in that situation, and Iowa State's not in that game without Brock Purdy. So
mm-hmm.
I think people need to keep that in mind out there as they try to dissect things out there. Troy, it was a great game yesterday between the Saints and the Chiefs. I had a lot of fun watching it. Wish we could have watched it together somewhere, but it was a lot of fun. 319-366-1600. As we talk Iowa and Iowa State, at least Iowa basketball to go along with Iowa State football. As we come your way on the Monday edition of the show, we're about 10 minutes away from Mike Colas, who was in Sioux Falls on Saturday, and we'll talk with him about things. So now you've got Iowa State, Mark, headed off to the New Year's Six bowl games as Iowa State will take on Oregon. Cyclones are number 10 in the college football playoff, I believe. Is that correct? Number 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
They'll take on Oregon, who just slipped in at number 25. And a lot of speculation around the country that people weren't too thrilled, that weren't Cyclone fans, were not real thrilled that three-loss Iowa State gets to go to the Fiesta Bowl and kicks out, especially an Indiana team that has only one loss. Okay, like you said, there's controversy every year, but okay, tell me who you're going to kick out of the eight teams that are in New Year's Six bowl games. Oregon won the Pac-12. You can't kick them out. Cincinnati was undefeated. You can't kick them out. Georgia, since Daniels has been in there, has been absolutely stupendous. Oklahoma beat Iowa State. Florida, tell you what, Florida, since the shoe thing, got a lot of negative talk. But I tell you what, if you watch that SEC championship game on Saturday night, if they don't throw that shoe, Florida might be that fourth team right now.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it is absolutely the best three-loss team in the country. I mean, losses by 3, 3, and 6 points, including to Alabama and Texas A&M. And that includes Iowa State. Sorry, Cyclone fans. Florida is the best three-loss team in the country. And, what's the reward? I mean, Iowa State, going to the Fiesta Bowl, it won the regular season championship. It came within an eyelash of winning the Big 12 championship game. But I think that Louisiana loss really rubbed people the wrong way, especially, you know, those in Cincinnati that are on the mid-major train. And Coastal Carolina. I mean, Coastal Carolina beat that Louisiana team on the road. Coastal Carolina finished undefeated and also beat BYU in a game that was arranged in a short period of time. I mean, if you want to make a case for Cincinnati, you can also make a case for Coastal Carolina that should have deserved better. But neither one of those teams are as good as the top four, maybe even the top six. They're just not. And strength of schedule is poor for those two teams. They're very good teams, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But it gets to the root of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his team doing great work in that field since 2003. Will a non-Power 5 team ever make the college football playoffs? Three choices: yes, no, or yes, but only after expansion.
Yep. Go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. Indiana gets the Outback. Northwestern played a really good Big Ten championship game against Ohio State, about as good as it could in that one on Saturday. And, you know, do you put Indiana ahead of Northwestern? Northwestern was a Western Division champion. You put Indiana ahead of Iowa, and that's the way it all played out because they got to go to the Outback. Iowa fell down in the Music City, and Gary Barta yesterday getting all the slings and arrows from people around the country had to talk today to the Iowa media, and that there were 13 other people though on that committee. It's not 12, is just the spokesman.
There's 12 other people on the committee. There's 13 including him, and he is the spokesperson. You know, this decision on the top four and the top 25, for that matter, was made by the committee. And I don't agree with everything he said after all the selections were made, but he's representing the committee and the committee's decisions. This wasn't Gary Barta's decision. It was a committee of 13 people. Go ask Ronnie Lott what he thought. He's a member of the committee, former great player, and many others. So I guess it's natural. The college basketball selection committee chairman gets the arrows every year. And, you know, I guess when you sign up for something like that, that's what you get.
All I want is this. I want the same people that are complaining and moaning and groaning about this selection to be heard in March when a couple of 30 win in a normal year. I know you won't play 30 this year, but in a normal year, 30 win mid-majors get passed for the number 9 team in the ACC for the NCAA tournament. That is more criminal than this is out there. Or just as bad. It's time to go to 8. Then you get each of the Power 5 winners in there. You're still going to have a big controversy between 7, 8, 9, and 10. You're not going to get away from it, but it's time to go to 8. Really think that. Mike Colas in a few minutes. Cajun Troy is on the phone. How you doing?
I'm good. I don't know why Drew Brees played yesterday. Oh, my God. Like they say, Green Bay should send every one of them a gift because they did nothing to earn number one. Saints just gave it to them. I tell you what, I just love, you know, I enjoy watching Kansas City. Their offense is just so creative. It's just exciting, you know. So I hope it's Green Bay and Kansas City in the Super Bowl, because I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers at least could throw the ball down the field, so could be competitive. So, yeah, we just, I mean, our offense and Drew, it was just, you know, it was painful to watch. I mean, at least what's his name could have ran and got us some first downs, you know. So, yeah. But I don't know. But I was just going to say, you know, the conversation y'all having about college football, we're going to have this in 2054, okay, because it's the same old thing. And tell Indiana fans, they got their treat for the Big Ten, Ohio State in the thing when it's playing only, what, three games? So they end the college football tournament. And Justin Fields, I would not take him second. I would not take him third. I would not take him
fourth. No way.
Yeah, he just has not impressed me one bit. But give it to the Jets. You know, Jacksonville's going to get him a quarterback.
Has him right now.
Yeah, that was great because Sam Darnold's like, you know what, you guys want to talk about Trevor? I'm still here. Good for Sam Darnold.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, look at your Bears. I tell you what, the Bears is going up and the Saints is going down. You know, your quarterback looks good. I'm liking the Bears, you know, and they got the greatest running back of all time in Iowa, you know. So. Hey, all right, you guys have a good one. So.
Thanks, Troy.
See you guys in the playoffs.
There you go.
All right, bye-bye.
Cajun Troy joining us at 3:30 here on the program. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate that. 0623 on the text line. They want to take the top 12 with the 12 teams with the top four getting a bye for the playoff. You can't.
I guarantee you're going to have an argument on the 13th team.
Yep, and you're not. Everyone said, well, why don't we do it the BCS, BF, 1AA, 1AA, mm-hmm. What they do.
FCS.
It has mm-hmm. been talked about, but it is always turned down by the presidents and the administrators and the athletic directors because they feel that's too many games and it takes away from all the money from the bowls. It's not going to happen. A 16-team tournament is not going to happen. 8 is the most you're ever going to get as far as the college football playoff is concerned, and I think we're inching our way closer to an 8-team playoff. But even if you do that this year, okay, you put in – okay, Oregon goes in, right, because Oregon won the Pac-12. Am I wrong about this?
Well, it depends on how it's all laid out. If it was strictly the top 8 teams in the college football rankings, you'd have a first-round matchup, Alabama and Cincinnati.
Alabama's going to win.
Somewhere where Cincinnati theoretically would be like a 30-point dog against Alabama.
Not going to be that bad. Not going to be that
bad. You want to see that?
You got to have the parameters, and then you're going to fight over the parameters. Okay, if you have an undefeated group of five team, do they get in automatically? What happens if it's a once beaten group of five team when they do play somebody like, an upper echelon power five team that beats them and goes on to a 7-4 season or something like that? I mean, there's just so many variables. And then you get the whole, they haven't beaten a team that was over 500. You can't help who's in your schedule. You can't help who's in your league. I think that's not a great argument as far as I'm concerned. Beat the teams that you're supposed to beat on your schedule. That's all you can do.
Well, as 4570 on the text line is pointing out, Indiana really didn't get cheated. Like Iowa, they did not beat a team with a plus 500 record. Iowa State beat Oklahoma, Texas, and West Virginia.
Not Indiana's fault. Penn State was bad this year.
To amplify that, one of Iowa State's losses to a Louisiana team that finished 19th in the college football rankings and obviously also lost to Oklahoma and lost to Oklahoma State, which is 21st. So there's three teams that Iowa State lost to, all of which finished in the top 25 in the college football rankings.
You can debate the college football playoff for the next 8 shows. And you could.
Well, there's
right?
There's just so many variables.
That exactly.
It's like, okay, I'll pick this variable, you pick that variable, and we'll argue about it. I mean, it's the same thing will happen next December. The same thing will happen in basketball in March.
And if you're thinking, and I know some people said, let's go back to the BCS, including several prominent people over the weekend tweeting that out there. Well, let me remind you, if you want to go back to the BCS, which everyone enjoyed and loved for the duration that it ran, as 1307 puts it, when you put all the polls into play, you have the situation that Dabo Swinney in Clemson ranking Ohio State 11th in his coaches' poll ballot yesterday or today, one of the two.
Yeah. You want him on the committee?
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't be because he's a current coach, but yeah, Dabo, go away. Come on.
11th. You think that's not getting back to Columbus?
Oh, yeah.
Clemson and Ohio State in a national semifinal. By the way, a lot of the bowl games you can hear right here on KGYM, including Iowa and Missouri in the Music City Bowl. And we'll talk about that particular ball game. We'll talk about Iowa-Gonzaga. We'll talk about Iowa State and Oklahoma and more with Michael Oz. He's coming up next right here on KGYM.
Your home has become an even more important part of your life. So give yourself the gift of a more inviting space with elegant cabinetry from Decora or Kemper. Whether you're envisioning a gleaming new kitchen, a more functional home office, or upgraded closets, the designers at Alexander Lumber will make you even happier to be home. Talk with them today about Decora and Kemper cabinets at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Linn County Public Health wants you to be a bad host for the holidays. A host is a person like you, and COVID is flying around looking for a good one to settle in. Don't give it the chance. Protect your family and friends by choosing virtual get-togethers this season. If you do gather with others, keep the group very small and follow all the recommended guidelines. Wear a mask, maintain social distance, and follow the 3 C's. Cover your cough, clean your hands, contain germs. Stay home when you're sick. Get more info at lynncounty.org/health.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Bergen KDV and KGYM encourage everyone to lift each other up.
I see our strength.
Commit to the corridor with Bergen KDV and use your money muscle for local lifting.
Cosmetic Solutions in Cedar Rapids helps you look and feel your very best with the latest treatments and services.
Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander in Iowa City bring your building and remodeling projects to life.
Bergen KDV, rooted in community.
I see our strength.
3:37, we are back here in the gym class on KGYM. Mark, we got some breaking news to let people know about as far as sports and the sports schedule and basketball tomorrow.
Yes, it affects KGYM programming. It's just been announced that Iowa State's game against Chicago State tomorrow has been canceled. The reasons for which I have not found, but nevertheless, that game canceled, Scott.
Yeah, that was going to be an 11 o'clock in the morning game. And I don't know the parameters. Chicago State has played, they're 0-8 or 0-9. And
they're pretty bad.
And maybe the worst team in college basketball. And they've played a bunch of games in a bunch of days. Iowa State has played a bunch of games in a bunch of days. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But anyway, they're not going to play tomorrow, so we will not have that game for you tomorrow. The Iowa State women play Drake, which should be a good one tomorrow night. We'll have that for you beginning at 6 o'clock. We got high school basketball for you, Monday night special tonight on 107.5 FM starting at 7:15. It will be number 5 and 3A Waverly Shellrock in town to take on the Marion Indians tonight. Ryan Lersman and I will have that call for you on 107.5 FM tonight at about 7 o'clock. 106.3 FM, you will have Monday Night Football. 107 will join after the game. And that is Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, and the Cyclone Coaches Show will come up at 6:30 tonight, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Let's get to Mike Halas, Gazette columnist. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter. He was in Sioux Falls on Saturday for Iowa-Gonzaga. This just in, Mike, good afternoon. The Bulldogs are really, really, really good.
They are. Chicago State's got COVID issues.
Okay.
They couldn't field enough players. In fact, I believe their head coach left because of family issues related to that, and former Hawkeye Rodell Davis is the acting head coach. And he doesn't have anything to work with there, but Chicago State's been one of the worst teams in America for a long, long time, and Iowa State is missing out on an automatic victory.
Yeah, and, a couple local ties, too, as 64-29 reminds us Carlo Marble is playing up there for Chicago State, too, so he will not get to play Iowa State tomorrow, but anyway.
Yeah, tough.
They're not Gonzaga.
No, they are to Gonzaga what I am to Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime.
Well, we knew that it was going to be tough to guard Suggs. We knew the athleticism of Gonzaga. It's different talking about it to witnessing it, and you got to witness it. And they're just a really good basketball team.
Well, I had a bird's eye view. Because of, no fans other than family members, the suites were open. Well, I got my own suite.
Nice.
It was nice. I mean, I had a TV set. I had a refrigerator. All I needed was a cot. But so I was like right above. I had like one of those theater seats that's right above the stage, And so I could see Gonzaga running its stuff better than Iowa's defense could. I mean, it was like being up in the upper deck for a hockey game in one of the corners. You could see these things develop, and it's like I knew 2 seconds before the Hawkeyes that they were beat, and it happened over and over and over again.
In regards to Suggs, one of our texters said probably a top three pick in the draft if he opts to go out after this year. You saw him, maybe not up close and personal, but in person. He did have 7 turnovers, but my goodness, the way he shot the ball and did other things. You've seen a lot of great basketball players, Mike. What's your assessment of him?
Well, it's the first time only time we'll see him in person, and I hadn't had the opportunity to see him on TV, so I was just going by reputation. It was only his 4th college game.
Scary.
Yeah, and 3-point shooting wasn't in the, the scouting report. And again, they'd only played 3 games, but he'd only made 2 threes, and the team had only made 16 over 3 games, which isn't very many by major college standards. And the way he shot the ball, it's like, okay, he's got that too. I mean, the first 3-pointer he took, I thought that maybe my old eyes were deceiving me because I didn't see the net move. And I looked at the replay last night, and it moved, but it didn't move much. I mean, it was just perfect. And so I don't know how often he's going to make 7 threes, but he made getting 27 points and running that offense, and he's a good defender too, I thought. He made that look pretty easy. And he's a pro among college players. I mean, McCaffrey said last week that he would have been a lottery pick coming out of high school if they could still do that. And I thought, Fran likes the hyperbole. And then I saw him play, and it's like, no, he would have been.
Yeah. There wasn't a doubt. And it wasn't Iowa's best performance. I guess the one positive you can take out of that performance was the fact that, as one of the texters indicated earlier on to us, that in past years, Iowa probably loses that thing by 20-plus, and they stuck in it somehow.
Yeah. Well, here's how they stuck in it. Besides the fact that Luka Garza scores on everybody in the world
yep.
in college basketball, is Joe Toussaint came off the bench, and instead of the throwing up brick after brick, he went to the basket. And so they turn a 20-point deficit into something a little more respectable. But to me, if they'd have won that game, everybody would be going gonzo down here, and understandably so, because Iowa would be sitting at number one right now. But would it be fool's gold, or would you rather say, okay, the defense still isn't where it needs to be to win a Big Ten championship or to go deep in March? And let's not kid ourselves. Let's get to work on this. So they've been saying all the right things. They did after Saturday's game, and they did again today in a Zoom conference call. But we've heard it before too. And the thing is, this is a good enough team that it can win with mediocre defense. It doesn't matter who you are, though. You're gonna get your comeuppance if you play terrible defense, and their defense in that game was frankly terrible.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you on Toussaint, that assessment. I'd throw Nunji in there as well, Mike.
Yeah, he had a good game. Yeah, he's a good player. You know, he's 6'11", he's a good player, and they're going to need him tomorrow night because Purdue is big. Purdue's got two good big guys, and they're going to need Nunji to contribute right there with Garza, and he's been doing a very good job of it, I think, since he started playing.
Four of 22 from beyond three for this Iowa basketball team. Obviously, a very far cry from the friendly confines of Carver Hawkeye Arena against North Carolina.
Yeah, it reminded me of a game they had at Nebraska. Was it two seasons ago when they went? They were just so brutal from 3-point and lost and had no, that game they had no business losing, but if you miss so many threes, you're going to lose. Well, how often is that going to happen? And it wasn't like they were taking – I mean, they had – a few of their shots were, kind of ill-advised, but I thought most of the shots were the right shots to take, and they didn't make them. Well, there's the thing. If they shoot free throws and they shoot three-pointers at just an okay rate – they might have won that game, despite the defense getting carved up, despite getting out-rebounded by 12. They still might have won. Their offense is that efficient and that potent, downright dangerous. So I wrote this, and I stand by it 2 days later. My opinion on the team hasn't soured an iota. Yeah, you'd like to see them be sounder defensively, and they're a better rebounding team than they were in that game, and not to make excuses, but a few of those offensive rebounds Gonzaga got were on missed threes of their own that just took weird bounces into the corner or things like that. Look, Gonzaga out-rebounded them, plain and simple, but it wasn't like they just owned the glass. So this Iowa team is closer to number one than it is to falling down the ladder.
College football, Mike, and I don't know if we want to debate the playoff, selections. I'm just tired in that regard. I don't know about you, but focusing in on Iowa and Iowa State and the bowl assignments, and I don't know how it dovetails with the basketball schedule, but what are you going to do between December 30th Iowa's game and January 2nd, Iowa State's game?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I wouldn't bet the life savings that this Music City Bowl happens.
Right.
So I'm not worried about that too much. Plus, this is going to irritate some people, but that's why you want me to talk, isn't it?
Sure.
Yes.
Is it a great idea to encourage a few thousand of your fans to go to Nashville? And I know the stadium's open air and they can spread out supposedly, though they never do, fans at these games once they get together. Funny how that happens. You can put 15,000 fans in a 70,000 seat stadium and it still looks like they're crammed together. But they're not going to just go to the game and then go sit in their hotel room. They're going to go out. You know, they're going to go to the Hollywood section of downtown Nashville where there's a series of clubs that are fun to go to. They'll basically go to a super spreader event. And so there's that. Also, what is the point of this? I mean, it's one thing to be in a New Year's Six Bowl. Going off to play 5-5 Missouri, and you don't know how many of your own guys and how many of their guys are going to opt out. You don't know how many are simply going to be unable to play because of COVID. You know, the players return from a break, and they're getting tested today or tomorrow. I don't know precisely when, and I got to wonder what those numbers are going to be, you know? And they won't tell you who just exactly was affected by it in this latest go-round besides Kirk Ferentz, but it was more than him on the coaching staff. And they're not willing. I mean, I asked Gary Barta point blank today twice if there was a significant amount of coaches affected, and I did not get a response.
Man.
So the whole thing doesn't have a great feel to it. Now, if you pull everything together and you can go and play a football game, great. Okay, fine. That's wonderful. But beating a 5-5 Missouri team that is as good as its record sounds like, has lost five games by double digits, lost by five touchdowns a week ago to Georgia. It's not going to rank as one of the great bowl achievements in Iowa history if you go there and win it.
Along those lines, Scott, Tennessee can't play in the Liberty Bowl. That appearance has been canceled. Is Army on the line?
Please, somebody give Army a chance.
I hope so.
Man.
It's a bowl industry, okay? Deep in its heart, Iowa doesn't want to go to a bowl game, no matter how much they tell you. I mean, okay, the coaches may want to, because the coaches want more practice.
And I think most of the players probably want to as well, because they want to play football.
Yeah, except you hear team after team after team in the last few days just saying, we are fried. You know, it has been, and understandably, it's been living like almost like prisoners. And if you're not playing for a championship, it's like, at some point,
it's like two more weeks of this,
you just want to be done with it. And if you're playing for something, that's different. And I'm not saying this is everybody, but you got to think that, I mean, I would be, if I'm Davion Nixon, I'm not going to Nashville. And maybe Davion Nixon would tell me, well, you're crazy. Of course I'm going. And if he did, I'd respect the hell out of that. And I'd say, good for you. But I wouldn't blame him an iota if he said, I did my bit here and it's time to go.
Missouri's already had two say that.
Yes. And there will be Iowa players who do. I'm almost certain, just law of averages, if nothing else. You've got South Carolina that's 2-8 going to a bowl game. This is the bowl industry. The games don't mean anything. This is TV programming. It's tourism. And this year there's not going to be tourism. But the bowls want to keep those commitments to the TV networks, primarily ESPN, which owns a lot of the games itself. So it's like, we're going to bite the bullet this year. And our teams are going to go to these games because we've got long-term relationships with these games. Yeah, the administrators and coaches have long-term relationships with them. The players don't.
True. Ed agrees with you, by the way, in the text line.
Oh, good.
Now, what about Iowa State? Iowa State is in a New Year's Six game.
Yeah, they've got a reason to be excited. You know? I mean, this is number one. This is their first one of these. And, you know, I think it's a different story for them just because it's, I think it's deeply meaningful for them. I was hoping, for my own selfish reasons, that they would have scored to win that game late Saturday because my prediction in the paper was Iowa State 28-27.
Wow, you would have been spot on.
And, you know, you only need to get one or two of those, and you can go on the radio and call yourself a tout and have people call your 800 number.
Or Nostradamus. Nostradamus. True. Very, very, very true out there. You probably didn't get to see much of Iowa State in Oklahoma.
No.
Have you seen it since then or caught something of it?
No, you know, after driving home from South Dakota, I just couldn't bring myself to sit down and watch a video of a game that I already knew the outcome. I know that that's probably not very diligent of me, but I watch Shameless on Showtime instead.
I don't blame you one bit. Hey, before we let you go, couple folks I know that live in Sioux Falls say that is just an amazing place up there, the Pentagon.
Going to say, you call that living?
Hey, I don't question anything, my folks in South Dakota. But
they're not big on the masks.
Oh, they aren't? Okay, very well. Then,
no.
Okay. I don't know about these people, but how about the venue? I heard is pretty cool. Would you agree?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, I mean, it's 3,200 seats. So, no matter what you've got going on there, it's pretty intimate.
And the old time scoreboards, but you did not partake in the old time scoreboard clock.
I like to know what the score and time is. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm looking at a compass or hieroglyphics. Just give me the numbers.
Iowa-Purdue basketball tomorrow night. This Big Ten has started off topsy-turvy. We were talking earlier. We both said, Mark and I, 16-4, we would take right now if you play 20.
Yeah, I think everybody would. Everybody at every team would.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is you're going to see Big Ten teams kind of slide down the rankings, and the top 10 is going to get infiltrated with some of your Big Easts and so forth, because the Big Ten teams are going to cannibalize each other. And even Iowa and Illinois, with such high preseason rankings, they're going to take some lumps. You're just going to over 20 games, because these are good teams. Purdue's coming in tomorrow. Purdue's got a good team.
Yeah, they do.
You know, I mean, I don't think they're a great team, but they've, I mean, they're bringing a guy in here tomorrow, a freshman, who's 7'4" and 285 pounds. And he's not Lurch. I mean, he's averaging 11 points a game in 15 minutes. He's got a nice shot. He's got good footwork. It's a dude with size 20 shoes.
Wow.
and you know, you don't see that when Western Illinois or Southern University come to town.
No, you don't.
This is a Big Ten thing, and they're all good. Illinois lost at Rutgers yesterday. No shame whatsoever. Rutgers is really good. Michigan State got waxed by Northwestern. Well, Northwestern wasn't any good last year, but I'd seen a little of them before last night. They're pretty good. I think you're going to have 14 teams in that league. I don't know who the weak link is. And so you gotta defend the home court first. And beating a team like Purdue at home is the way you got to get it started.
Mike, appreciate it. We got to run.
Okay.
Thanks. Mike Halas. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Get him a follow on Twitter. At Halas. We're fresh out of time, Mark. Tomorrow on the program, Jeff Johnson will join us. It covers the Hawkeyes. for the Gazette. Also, we'll talk with Wyatt Schultz coming up tomorrow on the program. And more college football playoff talk, more Gary Barta talk, more Iowa State talk coming up with Todd and Alex. They are next right here on KGYM. Hour goes quickly, doesn't it, when you got a lot to talk about?
Absolutely. It's been a fun hour. We'll look forward to it tomorrow, Scott.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next, KGYM.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer.